This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Jared Bowen. I think by now we're all pretty familiar with how particular Stephen Sondheim can be, especially after the theater legend and purist blasted the ART for its adaptation of the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess about a year and a half ago. He was furious then about changes the theater's creative team had made to the original opera. However, when it came to New Repertory Theater and its production of his show Marry Me a Little, Sondheim had an altogether different response. He allowed the company to take some first-ever liberties, and so they have. Joining me in Studio 3 to talk about Stephen Sondheim's songbook review, Marry Me a Little, are actor-singer Erica Spires, director and choreographer Elise Robbins, and musical director David McGrory, who's going to be playing for us in just a little bit. Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us.
So, Elise, I'll start with you. I mean, what has happened here is that the Stephen Sondheim sanctioned the first ever gender-blind performance of his show, because Marry Me a Little was written in 1980, and it's a collection of Sondheim songs that never made it into shows, and typically it's been a male-female couple singing back and forth to each other, but you've mixed it up here.
We have mixed it up. It in its original form, as you said, it's a man and a woman, and the way the songs are structured, they are trunk songs, so they're taken from shows that they had been done in tryouts, they had been done for a show that didn't really make it off the ground. So Craig Lucas who's a playwright, best known probably for Prelude to a Kiss and Light in the Piazza, got the okay to put this review together. And it's pretty much a loosely based relationship up, relationship down for a man and a woman. And when New Rep came to me and said we had the option of doing it gender blind, it was very, very exciting to me. And we had a few options. They first came to me and said, would you like to do it in rotating rep so that it would be two men, two women, man, woman, right? So you go on Wednesday night and see one couple, Thursday night see another, Friday see another. Or would you like to try it with more people? And we went through 6, 5, 4, and we settled on 4 people. And what it does for me is it gives you the possibility. It gives you so many possibilities. Having 4 people on stage and having a gender-inclusive cast, you can play with all the possibilities that we have within ourselves. So all the different possibilities of love and fantasy and loss.
It's, as I mentioned, you know, we especially here in Boston, we are very familiar with how, as I said, how particular Stephen Sondheim can be. I mean, he is a purist. He takes great care not only with his own work but other work. So, what was that process like to appeal to him and to allow you to change how this would be staged?
Interesting question. I was taken in after they had already gotten the okay from Sondheim and his people.
And they being the New Repertory Theater.
The New Rep had gone.
And artistic people.
Jim Petosa and Bridget and Harriet had gone and spoken to Sondheim's people and got the go-ahead to make it a gender-inclusive.
Well, it was within 15 minutes of asking, they got a reply back.
Right.
It was okay.
And did they know it was coming from Sondheim himself? It wasn't just his representation?
They know that because they gone to MTI, who licenses the piece, and they said, no, he won't. He will not allow this. We know that he will not allow this. And they said, well, you know, it couldn't hurt to ask. And within 15 minutes, they got the okay that Mr. Sondheim had said yes.
And did you get any inclination as to why he said yes? I mean, one can only imagine it's because of sort of the politics in this country right now. Everything is changing. There's so much dialogue. I mean, not that he could have anticipated it, but Rhode Island this week is voting on same-sex marriage in their legislature. So obviously it's a swelling dialogue. But did he say he wanted to – is this his way of endorsing same-sex marriage?
That we don't know. We can only infer, I think.
Right. I knew that the letter that they did send him and his people did say that, you know, Massachusetts is
forward-thinking.
Yes, and you know, that it was very important to us in our state. And so I know that was a big focus of that letter. So I would assume it had something to do with it, but I don't know that we got that back in the reply.
And it was an interesting dialogue as we went along. We did have to we left the songs in order, though we took out I took out Bang and put in Rainbows, and we had to let them know that. We needed to let them know who was singing what. David and I put more than – it's usually either a solo or a duet, and there are 2 numbers that we put 4 people on. We changed who sang what parts, and all that had to go – back to his people.
Well, let's have a little sense of the music.
Sure.
And we're going to have Erica Spires go move over to the microphone. And I should point out, she's phenomenal because not only is she singing in this show as local audiences who might know her, they've seen her do that, but she's also playing the violin. You are just a multi-threat here.
Oh.
But you're absent of your violin. And here we have that you're singing Marry Me a Little, which was from the original finale of Company in 1970. And again, as we'll continue to talk about more, this song was removed and it has a different finale now. So, but this is Marry Me a Little, sung by Erica Spires.
Marry me a little, love me just enough, cry but not too often, play but not too rough. Keep a tender distance so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready.
Fantastic. There's no Beyonce here. We were just talking about that in our last segment, but you are incredible.
Oh, thank you.
That's my guest, actor and singer Erica Spires, with pianist David McGrory. We're talking about the Sondheim Review, Marry Me a Little, now on stage at New Repertory Theater, just through this weekend. Mm-hmm. So how you wonder what happened with these songs, because Stephen Sondheim, obviously, he's known for creating these very intricate, very fantastic songs. So what happens in the end that they don't actually make it into the show?
Well, it's very interesting to do the research on these songs. Some of them he really didn't want to give up. And he put them all the way through to out-of-town tryouts, and right before it went to New York, they would get cut. Some are cut because they mimic a monologue, and they found that the monologue was getting better response. That happened to Trumpets, which Amy Doherty sings in our show, from Anyone Can Whistle, and they found that the monologue was doing better. My favorite Sondheim piece is Little Night Music, and there are several cut pieces from that show. One of them being Silly People, mm-hmm. which Erica sings with Amy. And that was Frid's song.
Yeah.
And that was, go ahead.
I think Frid used to have a bigger part in the original A Little Night Music. And then as it just kept developing, his character kind of became smaller and smaller. And then you're left with this piece. And it's like, well, we don't really have much of Frid anymore. So
I'm curious to your take, Erica. Mm-hmm. When you extract a piece like that from a show, how well does it stand up on its own?
That's a great question. Normally, when I do something that's similar to this, like some type of review, it's very difficult for me as an actor because I really like to have a through line. And as much as you try to tell yourself what it is in your head, if you're not acting it, it's very hard to just come up with that. With this particular piece, the way that Elise set it up from the very beginning, it was very exciting to us because I used to do a lot of this in my room, you know, just sitting there and fantasizing about what life might hold and where I might be. And, you know, you can switch from one person to the next and one mood to the next. And so it actually works very well, I think. We each worked out our own storylines with Elise. She had an idea for us and then just kind of let us move along with it. So each night we can find a new discovery because it's what's in our head. I think the challenge is we're always pretty much on stage, so making sure you're not taking away from somebody else's story when they kind of have the song, but letting that inform, maybe like letting those lyrics and that mood of the song inform what you're doing in your room and inform your through line.
Well, that's what's so interesting, excuse me, is that there are little gestures, too, that acknowledge the song that has just come before. And
yeah.
So if I can sort of paint a picture for our listeners, you're looking at this quadrant. You have two rooms on the stage and then two rooms right above that. So it's looking like it looks like you're looking at a four-room house, essentially. And you have sort of the guy with the schlubby apartment and
right.
the tiny fridge, and it's a mess. And then, Erica, you're next door, and you're so cute with your pink comforter and your teddy bear
right.
and your violin. And then
yes.
you've got sort of the, you know, the middle-aged guy with the really nice apartment. You know he's been successful. And then Amy Doherty as the wino
right.
up in the other
right.
quadrant. So you have this great sense of who these characters are. So, Erica, how
right.
do you describe who you've – and did you create her, or how much direction did you have
yeah.
in the material itself?
So once I you know, Elise cast the show, and then about a month before we started, I had seen a video of Lauren Molina playing cello in the off-Broadway production of Marry Me a Little. So I said, hey, I play the violin. Would you have any interest you know? I'd love to play. I don't get a chance to anymore. And so she said, sure. And that helped inform my storyline. So she's like, all right, you're a grad student playing, you know, you're a violinist. You're getting ready to go out and busk on the streets. So it was like, great. So in my head, and, you know, once again, it's not really important that the audience knows everything that's going on in my head as long as I can get the important points across. But for me, like, I've just seen my parents. They've given me some trinkets from home. I'm setting them up in my little tiny New York apartment. And I'm happy about being a musician. But there's a part of me that really longs for that kind of sense of home and family. So my story is kind of like the whimsy of New York and how wonderful and beautiful that can be. And then how much longing I still have for that sense of home and family.
And Elise, I see you sitting here looking as if you've just heard this for the first time.
No, I've heard it before. It just makes me so happy every time I hear it. I feel very, very lucky with my cast. I cast four fabulous actors, if I can quickly name them all: Amy Doherty, Eric Spires, Brad Pelequin, and Phil Taylor. And we had such a wonderful rehearsal process because I could give each one of them a seed and I watched them blossom. It really was very exciting.
What sort of, and you talked about this a little bit, but what sort of really fundamental connectivity did you see between the actors? Going back to what I was just saying, that there is a small acknowledgement. You know, sometimes there's just a gesture. Other times it's an audible acknowledgement about the song that has just come before and what the relationship may be. So how did you see those?
Sure. So my image at the beginning was that there are four lonely people in this apartment building. They've maybe passed each other in the halls, but never really connected. But they have this unspoken relationship. Amy's apartment is above Phil's. She hears him all the time. So when he drops his skateboard, she pounds on the floor above him. And when Erica hits the wrong note on a violin, they're close enough through those thin walls to hear each other. So they all have this unspoken relationship with each other and then this fantastical relationship with each other that they've created for themselves.
And how does Sondheim's music work especially well for that? I mean, we're talking, the title is Marry Me a Little, but there is also a lot of darkness here. I mean, you have, you know, somebody sitting home alone, lamenting being home on a Saturday night. You have people with the frustrations of the idiosyncrasies of a relationship. You have people thinking introspectively about love. I mean, there are some fun songs too, uplifting, a song about golf and,
right,
and love, which is great. But how does Sondheim really speak to this sort of idea and genre?
Let's talk about that together. For me, he's such a storyteller.
Yeah.
I feel like he's so specific in his lyrics and where it's put to the music. And the story is so rich. Mm-hmm. And I feel like each song is its own story. And you can live in just that song and then fill the whole evening with it.
True. So my husband's a composer, so we talk a lot about Sondheim's music and how beautiful it is. And I'm like, Andrew, do you really think he's a better composer or a lyricist? And he's like, he's a great composer, but his lyrics are so incredible.
I interviewed Christine Ebersole, who was doing it was a concert version of A Little Night Music at Symphony Hall, and she was talking about how mathematical it is and how intricate it is. Is that the level of discussion you have with your husband?
Absolutely, yes, yes. I mean, he's such a well-trained composer, so, you know, he's very singable, but also he tells such a great story with his lyrics. So you can do so much with them. And like Lee said, they're great standalone songs, but I think all of Sondheim's stuff works better within the context of a show. Mm-hmm. So once we added the through line to it, it just means so much more. And you can infer a lot of things from it, like Marry Me a Little, for example. There are so many light and dark moments, and that's the way that life is. And I think that's maybe why he connects so well with people, is he has a lot of darkness that he shows through musical comedy, you know, and it's very layered.
That was exactly the word I was going to use. I feel like his work is very, very layered.
And Erica, we'll have you go to the microphone. You're going to treat us to one more song, which is Rainbows. And Elise, I'll add, as Erica's moving over to the microphone, I'll just ask you to tell us. So this was from a film version of Into the Woods.
An unmade film version. It was pitched in the 1990s, and it never came to fruition. And so this is a song that would have been between the baker and the baker's wife.
All right, sorry. Erica Spires again singing Rainbows from Marry Me a Little.
taking away our rainbow. Don't tell me it's all in vain. Why would you expect a rainbow? I think you enjoy the pain. You chip away long enough at every dream.
And again, that's my guest, actor and singer Erica Spire, singing Rainbows from Marry Me Little with pianist David McGrory. We're talking about the Sondheim Review, Marry Me Little, now on stage at New Repertory Theater through this weekend. I just want to take a moment to just pause. It's hard for me to start talking again. But Elise, how did you then match up your songs? I mean, obviously you did it very well here with Erica.
Thank you. Well, it was interesting because I did the storyline first. I tried to do an arc for each couple and put together who I thought, which man, man, woman, other man, woman, what they should be singing. And then David and I spent a lot of time thinking about who we had and what the vocal ranges were and how we wanted to tell the stories.
Where do you think that Sondheim is going now? I just recently saw a production of his Assassins in Chicago, and granted, it's not a recent piece, but where do you guys see it's? I mean, this you can really think of it in this context because you have songs in this show that go back to the 1950s. I mean, this is a man who has just been evolving and
so
creating
perfect, yeah.
and doing his computations. If you think his songs are mathematical, for more than a half century. So, where is he going now?
It's hard to know. It's interesting. I saw him speak a few years ago now, and he was talking about how he's stuck, how he feels that he's gotten to a point where he doesn't know what else he has left. And I've spoken about it with many people that I feel like it's hard for him to be a legend in his own time. It feels like he is such a bright, shining star in this genre, and it's hard to top yourself when you hit that height, I think.
Yeah, I really hope he's writing more. You know, I really do. And I know tons of musicians hope that he is. It would be lovely to see him write something about getting older.
Oh,
and to, you know, do something from his perspective of who he is now. I think that it's just the musical theater world could really use him again. And certainly there are great things coming out, but there's nobody quite like him.
And do you find that those older pieces, are they still unencumbered by time? They're just as resonant and relevant today?
Oh, I think absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Very much so.
I would, there are a number of his pieces that aren't really done that often, and I would love to see some of those done again. But, you know, like, I've done A Funny Thing Happened on the Forum twice, and it has so many laughs. I mean, I don't think that show will ever really I don't think it will ever get old. You know, it's one that holds up very well, and it's one of his earliest.
And Elise, you just mentioned that A Little Night Music is your favorite, which
is.
I always say it's mine. And then I heard some of those strains from Into the Woods, and I thought, well, no, that's kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
But then I really love Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd,
so
yes.
I guess I can't pick. But Erica, what do you go? What's your Sondheim go-to?
My go-to is Sweeney Todd. I saw it first when I was like 15, and my brother was in it. I saw it six times.
Oh.
But I love A Little Night Music as well.
Well, this is a fantastic show, and people only have a few more days to see it.
Only a few more days.
They close Sunday night.
Well, we've been talking about the songs of Stephen Sondheim by way of New Repertory Theater's production of Marry Me, Little. It's on stage, as we just mentioned, only through January 27th. To learn more about showtimes and tickets, visit newrep.org. I've been joined by actor-singer Eric Aspires, director and choreographer Elise Robbins, and musical director David McGrory. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jared.
We had a great time.
And here back in Studio 3 is Kelly Crossley.
Hi, Jared. Well, we're going to turn our attention to local news that went under the radar, as we say. Today, the MassHealth officials are looking for Spanish and Portuguese speakers. We'll talk about what impact that will bring. And also, there's a call by an essayist on the Bay State Banner asking why there's a different set of rules for bullying as opposed to gang violence. We'll talk about what that means as well. Coming up, I'm Callie Crossley.
Alive and alone on a Saturday night is dead. So what can you do on a Saturday night?
Alone.
Who needs a view on a Saturday night?
Who needs a view on a Saturday night?
Alone. If it's a Saturday night and you are sick.